All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're diving into something, well, let's face it, it's something that we all kind of have to deal with, you know, at some point, stress, especially as we get a little older.
It's definitely one of those universal experiences, isn't it?
It is, it is. And actually, we had a listener write in specifically asking about managing stress after they hit 50.
Oh, interesting. The big 50. Kind of a milestone.
It is, it is. And they mentioned feeling a little anxious about things like retirement and health, you know, just keeping everything together as they move into this new phase of life.
Makes sense. It's a time of big transitions for a lot of people.
Exactly. So to help us unpack all of this, we're going to be taking a look at some excerpts from beatingstress50plus.pdf.
Okay, sounds good. A practical guide, huh?
It is. It is. And we'll also be weaving in some insights from the Just Retired 50 Plus website.
Oh, nice. So we'll get a mix of expert advice and real world perspectives.
Exactly. Think of this as like a journey through the decades, picking up some stress busting tips along the way.
I like that. Because stress really does change as we age, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What worries us at 30 might not be the same thing that keeps us up at night at 60.
Exactly. So let's start with the fabulous 50s. Our sources paint this decade as a little bit of a pressure cooker. There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. What kind of things are we talking about?
Well, for starters, the divorce rate actually spikes during this decade.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And of course, health issues can start to crop up, either our own or maybe our parents are starting to need more help.
Right. That makes sense. Taking care of aging parents can be incredibly stressful.
It can be. And on top of all that, there's often this feeling of being pulled in a million different directions. Work, family, maybe even side hustles. It's like you're constantly juggling.
Oh, tell me about it. I remember that feeling well.
And you know, one thing that really stood out to me in beatingstress50plus.pdf was this therapist, Mansu Khani, who says even just carving out a tiny bit of time for yourself each week can make a huge difference.
Okay, I'm listening. How much time are we talking?
He suggests aiming for at least an hour. But even if you can only manage 30 minutes, it's better than nothing.
That might sound almost too simple, you know? Like, does that really make a difference?
It does. It does. Because when we're stressed, self-care is often the first thing to go. We feel like we don't have time for it.
Oh, I'm totally guilty of that.
I think we all are. But it's so important to make that time, even if it's just for a few minutes each day.
Okay, so what kind of self-care are we talking about here? Is it like bubble baths and spa days?
It could be, but it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Even just going for a walk, reading a book, taking a nap.
Right, anything that helps you relax and recharge.
Exactly. It's about giving your brain a break from that constant fight or flight mode.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
And it actually makes sense, right? If you're already feeling stressed,
yeah,
and then you're not taking care of yourself, it's just going to make things worse.
Exactly. And, you know, Mansu Khani also emphasizes the importance of support groups, especially for those dealing with tough stuff like caregiving for a loved one with Alzheimer's.
Support groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's about sharing experiences, not feeling so alone in what you're going through.
Right. It's like if you're the only one going through something, it can feel so isolating. But if you know that other people are going through the same thing, it can make a huge difference.
Exactly. And now, get this. There's a fascinating link between sleep, technology, and stress.
Oh, this is interesting. Tell me more.
So Dr. Steroni, who's quoted in one of our sources, has done a lot of research on this, and basically she's found that evening exposure to light, especially the blue light from our phones and laptops, messes with our body's production of melatonin.
Melatonin, that's the sleep hormone, right?
Exactly. And when our melatonin production is disrupted, it messes with our REM sleep.
Okay, and why is REM sleep so important?
Well, it's during REM sleep that our brains process emotions.
Ah, so if we're not getting enough REM sleep, we're not processing those emotions as efficiently.
Exactly. And that means we wake up less equipped to handle stress. It's like a vicious cycle.
Wow, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So what's the solution? Just put away our phones before bed?
That's a good start. Dr. Steroni recommends stopping all technology use at least 2 hours before bed.
2 hours? That's a long time.
I know, it sounds like a lot, but it can make a big difference. And if you absolutely can't avoid screens, you can try wearing blue light blocking glasses.
Okay, I've heard of those. Do they really work?
They can help. It's not a perfect solution, but it's better than nothing.
Right. So it's not just about feeling well rested. It's about giving your brain the tools it needs to actually manage stress on a chemical level.
Exactly. It's pretty fascinating stuff. Okay, so we've talked about the 50s. Now let's fast forward to the 60s. What happens when retirement comes knocking?
Ah, retirement. The golden years, right. Time to relax, travel, finally pursue those hobbies you never had time for.
That's the image we often have, isn't it? But the reality can be a bit different. In fact, the Holmes and Rahas stress scale, which is a tool used to measure the stress levels of different life events.
Okay, I think I've heard of that.
Well, according to that scale, retirement ranks as the 10th most stressful thing people go through.
10th. Seriously.
Seriously, it's higher than getting fired.
Wow. I never would have guessed that.
It just goes to show that even positive changes can be major stressors. And it makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah, how so?
Well, retirement can lead to a loss of identity for some people. They've defined themselves by their work for so long, and suddenly that's gone.
Right, that makes sense. It's like, who am I if I'm not a lawyer or a teacher or whatever it is I've been doing for the past 40 years?
Exactly. And there's also the potential for social isolation. If your main social connections were through work, retirement can suddenly feel very lonely.
That's a good point. So, are we saying retirement is just one big stress fest? No hope for relaxation?
Not necessarily. It's just about being aware of the potential challenges and having a plan in place to navigate them.
Okay, so what kind of plan are we talking about here?
Well, Dr. Kang, whose work we've been referencing, she emphasizes the importance of having a plan for how you'll spend your time in retirement, not just financially, but like what will give you a sense of purpose.
I like that. It's about being intentional with your time.
Exactly. It's about figuring out what you value and then structuring your retirement around those values. Do you want to travel? Volunteer? Take up a new hobby?
It's like designing your dream retirement instead of just letting it happen to you.
Exactly. And remember, this decade can also bring other stressors. Health issues might become more prevalent. Your kids might be moving out. You might be downsizing, dealing with the loss of loved ones.
Right, it's a lot to handle. So having a plan for how you'll manage stress in general becomes even more important.
Exactly. And you know, Dr. Steroni suggests something really interesting for this stage of life. She says learning a new skill can be incredibly beneficial for stress management.
A new skill.
Yeah.
That's intriguing. Tell me more.
Well, she talks about this concept of incremental mastery. It means that the act of learning and gradually getting better at something, even if it's something small, can be a huge confidence booster.
Okay, I'm starting to see where she's going with this.
And that sense of accomplishment can spill over into other areas of your life, making you feel more capable of handling whatever comes your way.
So is she talking about like big stuff? Learning a new language or something?
It could be, but it doesn't have to be anything that ambitious. It could be learning to play a musical instrument, taking up a new sport, finally mastering that sourdough bread recipe.
Oh, the sourdough. The elusive sourdough.
The point is, it's about challenging yourself mentally, which keeps your brain engaged and adaptable.
And the more adaptable we are, the better we'll be able to handle those curveballs that life throws our way.
Exactly. So we've covered the 50s and 60s. Are you ready to see what wisdom awaits us in the 70s and beyond?
I am. I am. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. The 70s and beyond. This is where things get really interesting. You know, because we often see a shift in how stress shows up, I guess.
Okay, so not so much the outward chaos of, careers and family and all that.
Right, exactly. It's more of like quieter, more inward kind of thing.
So what does that look like, practically speaking?
Well, you might see more withdrawal, less of that, can-do attitude, and maybe even more time spent dwelling on things.
Psychologists call that rumination, right?
Yeah, exactly. And these can be subtle signs that stress is building up, under the surface.
And I'm guessing, based on what we talked about earlier, that social isolation plays a big role here.
You got it. Loneliness can be a huge factor in this age group. Think about it. Retirement might mean fewer work connections. Health issues might make it harder to get out and be social. Maybe friends and family have moved away.
It's true, aging comes with loss. It's tough.
It is tough, but remember what that therapist Mansukhani said. Being alone doesn't have to mean loneliness.
Right, it's a powerful distinction.
It is, and she gave some really practical advice for dealing with loneliness, even if it's hard to be super social because of your circumstances.
I'm all ears. What did she say?
It's about structuring your day, finding purpose in your routine.
Oh, okay. Give me some examples. What kinds of things are we talking about?
Simple stuff, really set regular wake up and bedtimes, even if you don't have to anymore, have meals at consistent times.
Okay, keeping that structure.
Exactly. And most importantly, plan activities throughout the day that give you that sense of looking forward to something.
Like what? Like a daily walk, tending a garden, even just calling a friend at a certain time.
Exactly. Those little bits of routine can really anchor you, make you feel more in control and less like you're just drifting.
Makes sense. And of course, if you can join a club or volunteer, take a class, anything that gets you interacting with others, that's a huge bonus.
Absolutely. All right. Can't let this slide without bringing up our favorite topic, nature.
I knew you were going to say that. I have a feeling Dr. Cerrone would be giving us a standing ovation right about now.
She would. It's amazing how much research supports the benefits of nature for stress reduction. Especially as we age.
It's true. Lower cortisol, better mood, even improved cognitive function.
The list goes on and on. And, even if getting out in nature is difficult, just listening to nature sounds can have a calming effect.
I remember reading a study about this. They played nature sounds in a hospital waiting room, and people's anxiety levels went way down compared to those who are listening to regular music or nothing at all.
It's pretty wild, right? Our brains are just wired to respond to those natural cues, even if it's just through our ears.
It's amazing. Okay, so we've done a good job covering the decade-by-decade stuff, but I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier, the stigma around mental health.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one, especially for older generations.
It's like there's this unspoken rule that once you reach a certain age, you should just suck it up and not complain about feeling anxious or depressed.
And I get that, there's a generation that was raised to believe that talking about your feelings is a sign of weakness, especially for men.
But we're learning now that bottling things up just makes it worse.
It does. And honestly, sometimes I think people worry that, admitting they're struggling will burden their families or they're afraid of being judged.
It's heartbreaking because there are effective treatments available, therapy, medication, support groups.
It's not a life sentence to feel this way.
Exactly. And it's important to remember, mental health is health. It's not a character flaw.
It's not something to be ashamed of, and seeking help is a sign of strength.
I love that. So if you're listening and relating to any of this, please reach out. Talk to your doctor, a therapist, a friend, a family member, anyone you trust.
Just taking that first step can make a world of difference.
It can be scary putting yourself out there, but I guarantee you the relief that comes from finally sharing what you're going through is worth it.
Okay, so now that we've tackled the heavy stuff, I want to shift gears a bit and talk about something more practical, those everyday stressors that seem to pop up no matter how old we are.
Right, because those don't just disappear when you turn 50 or 60.
Nope, they're with us for the long haul, so it's important to have some strategies for dealing with them.
And luckily, our sources offer some great advice, and I think it applies across the board, not just to folks over 50.
I agree. Stress management is a life skill, not just something we need once we hit a certain age.
Exactly. So let's dive into those universal tips. One that really stood out to me was the importance of simply being prepared for change.
Okay, that sounds kind of obvious, but how do we actually do that?
Well, sometimes we get so comfortable in our routines that any disruption throws us for a loop.
It's true. And as we age, those changes, they become more frequent. Retirement health issues maybe needing to move.
Exactly. So the more we can mentally prepare ourselves for the fact that life is going to throw us curveballs, the better we'll be able to handle them.
So it's not about obsessing over every possible scenario.
Right.
It's more about having a mindset of flexibility.
Right. Being open to adapting. Another tip that resonated with me was talk about your problems and concerns.
Again, might sound obvious, but how often do we actually do that?
It's so easy to isolate ourselves when we're stressed. Convince ourselves that nobody wants to hear our woes.
But bottling things up just makes them fester,
Totally. Talking to someone, whether it's a friend, family member, therapist, it helps you process those feelings and get them out of your head.
Sometimes just saying things out loud helps you realize they're not as scary as they seemed when they were trapped in your mind.
So true. Okay, next tip. Ask for help when you need it.
This one goes hand in hand with the talking thing, but it's more about taking action.
It's about recognizing your limitations and not being afraid to say, hey, I need a hand with this.
Whether it's help with chores, errands, emotional support.
Or even practical stuff like finances or healthcare. Our sources actually list a bunch of organizations that can provide assistance with those things.
It's a reminder that there's a whole network of support out there just waiting to be tapped into. We don't have to do everything ourselves.
Okay, this next one is a bit more planny, but bear with me. Think ahead and have a plan.
I actually love this one, even though it might sound daunting at first.
It can be, but having a plan, whether it's for your finances, your health care, even end-of-life stuff, it takes so much anxiety out of the equation.
It's about feeling like you have some control over your future, instead of just letting things happen to you.
And it doesn't have to be this rigid, set-in-stone thing.
Right. Life is unpredictable. The plan is just a roadmap. and you can always adjust the route as you go.
Okay, this next one I found super interesting, care for others.
Yes, the power of giving back.
It's not just about being a good person, although that's obviously a bonus. It's about how helping others actually benefits us as well.
It gives you a sense of purpose, connection. It gets you out of your own head.
And all of those things are great for stress management, whether it's caring for grandchildren, volunteering, even just checking in on a neighbor who's going through a tough time.
It doesn't have to be some grand gesture. Even small acts of kindness can have a ripple effect.
Okay, next up, keep in touch. This one is all about nurturing our social connections, which, as we've established, is crucial for stress management at any age.
Especially as we get older, those connections become our lifeline.
So make the effort to stay connected with old friends, be open to making new ones, explore different ways to communicate.
Phone calls, video chats, in-person meetups, find what works for you and prioritize it.
It's an investment in your well-being. All right. This next tip is a two-parter, and I'm guessing it's no surprise. Be active and sleep well.
The dynamic duo of physical and mental health.
They go hand in hand. We've talked about how exercise helps lower stress hormones, improves mood, and even helps you sleep better.
So find an activity you enjoy, walking, swimming, dancing, gardening, whatever gets you moving.
And don't skimp on sleep. It's when our bodies and minds repair and recharge, making a non-negotiable part of your routine.
Absolutely. Okay, two more tips to go. This one is all about fueling your body and mind. Eat and drink sensibly.
No crazy diets or deprivation here. It's about nourishing yourself with healthy foods, staying hydrated, and enjoying the social aspect of food as well.
Right? Sharing meals with loved ones, cooking together, it's all good for the soul.
And finally, this last tip is my personal favorite. Do things you enjoy.
Ah, yes. Injecting a bit of joy into every day.
It's about making time for hobbies, passions, activities that light you up, whether it's reading, listening to music, volunteering, learning a new skill.
It's about reminding yourself that life is not just about work and responsibilities. It's about finding those things that make you feel alive.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on because at the end of the day, isn't that what it's all about? Finding ways to make life feel less stressful and more joyful no matter what decade we're in?
Yeah, finding that spark, it really does make all the difference. And, as we wrap up this deep dive, I keep coming back to that idea of being proactive about stress management.
It's not something that just, magically disappears.
Definitely not. It's like anything else. If you want to get good at it, you have to practice.
So what are some small things our listeners can do to start incorporating these tips into their lives?
Well, we've talked about a lot of good ones already, like those little routines, wake-up times, meal times, planned activities.
Right, building that structure into your day.
Exactly. And making time for nature, even if it's just listening to those recordings.
And don't forget about reaching out to someone for a chat instead of letting those worries just, swirl around in your head.
Oh, and those 10 tips we got from beatingstress50plus.pdf, there's so much good stuff in there.
It's a gold mine of stress-busting advice.
It is. And I think one of the biggest takeaways is that there are resources available to help no matter what you're going through.
Financial advice, emotional support, help with caregiving.
Whatever it is, don't be afraid to reach out and ask.
It's about being your own advocate, right? Recognizing that asking for help is not a sign of weakness.
It's actually a sign of strength. You're taking control of your well-being.
You are, and I think that's a perfect message for our listeners. You have the power to shape your experience even when things feel stressful.
You do. It's about making choices that support your mental and physical health and seeking support when you need it.
I love that. You're not just, along for the ride. You have agency, you have options.
Exactly. And remember, stress management is a journey, not a destination.
There will be good days and bad days.
That's life, right? There will be times when you feel like you're crushing it and times when you're just trying to survive.
So be kind to yourself throughout the process.
Give yourself some grace, celebrate the small wins, and don't beat yourself up over the setbacks.
Well said. This has been such an insightful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure. I always enjoy these deep dives.
And to our listener, thank you for joining us on this exploration of stress management after 52. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and tools to help you navigate this next chapter with confidence and joy. And remember, you're not alone in this. We're all in this together. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep diving deep.